Amen. If you've got your Bibles this morning, you might want to turn to the book of Luke. And we want to talk this morning about showing grace and about showing grace in our lives. And so I want to look at this particular passage in Luke chapter 15. And I want to look at the story this morning of the parable of the prodigal son or the lost son. I want to speak about that this morning. And just before we start reading that scripture, this is in Luke 15, and we're going to be reading from chapter 8. It won't be up on the screen, so trust that you've got your Bibles there this morning, that you can follow that along this morning. Luke chapter 15, and we're going to be reading from verse 8 onwards. Before we do that, I just want to read verses 1 and 2, which will come up on the screen. And it really gives the context of why was Jesus telling the story about the prodigal son? Why was Jesus talking this way? Why did he give this particular message to them? And so it gives us the framework, gives us the context. In Luke 15, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him." So these were unbelievers that were coming to Jesus, tax collectors who were the most hated and despised people, because a lot of them were, they were a little bit like the mafia. They were extortionists. They would lean on people and take far more than what they should because they took it also for themselves. So the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And so there's Jesus, he's reaching out to these people, even some despised people, sinners, people who didn't know him at all. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they began to mutter and began to complain among themselves. And they're saying of Jesus, "This man welcomes sinners and even eats with them." He's actually reaching out to them. And the Pharisees, who were very standoffish, very super religious, they didn't like that. So then Jesus goes on and begins to tell them these three parables. We're going to look at one of the parables this morning, and that's the parable of the lost son. So let's read that together from Luke chapter 15. And so I'm reading down from verse 11, not verse 8, verse 11. Verse 11 of chapter 15. And Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons." We want to talk about the second of the two sons mainly today. "The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. And when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and he went to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. And then the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." And so this is just an incredible story, an incredible passage about the grace of God. And it talks about this son who treated his father with total humiliation, total contempt to his father. Could not have been any ruder to his father to go to his father and demand of him. His father was not even dead yet. He's saying, "Give me my inheritance now." In other words, "I wish you were dead, Dad, because I want what I can get from you." Goes to his father, insults his father, shames his father publicly, because everyone would have known what had happened, that the estate had been divided up and then sold off. So totally ridiculed his father, humiliated his father, treated him with total, utter contempt, and ran off and went on his own life and lived his own lifestyle in total wild living. And this paints a picture for us of people that really don't know Jesus Christ. They're living for themselves. They're whooping it up. It's everything about themselves. It's about satisfying the needs they have. And it's all about me. It's a very self-centered life. And that's how this son was. He was like that. He was living a selfish life. And it thumbed his nose at the father and just was living for himself. And that's the way that he was living his life. And it's a story of incredible grace, because we see the father who'd been pained in such a way, totally humiliated, publicly humiliated by this son, in that everyone would have known what was going on, and the way that he'd been treated, the way that he'd been despised, and the pain and the anguish that that would have caused the father. He wanted his son with him, and the pain that would have caused him to see his son treat him with such contempt in such a way, separate himself, break relationship off, and run off. But despite the incredible pain that arrogance that caused him, it says that when the father saw him, he was filled with compassion. And while he was a long way off, he saw him. His heart begins to rise up. He runs to his son. He throws his arm around him. He embraces him, loves him, and he welcomes him into his home. And that's a beautiful picture for us, of all of us, to Christ. Every one of us, before we knew Christ, before we knew him, we were living our own life. And we'd thumbed our nose to our Creator, to our Father, didn't consider him. Got what we could, ran out, did our own life, did our own thing. And it's by the grace of God that we are in his eternal kingdom, that he's received us, even though he was so repulsive, as I said last week. He'd been living with pigs, he smelt like a pig, despite the filth and the muck what was on his life. The Father threw his arms around him, loved him, kissed him, and received him back as a son. And that's what God has done to every one of us. As we've given our heart to Jesus Christ, even when our sin was so repulsive to him, he still loved us. He still died on the cross for us. And when we come to him, he runs and throws his arm around us and welcomes us into his eternal kingdom. Causes his son. We become sons and daughters of the living God. What a wonderful story of grace this particular passage is. But it's a remarkable story, because when Jesus gives this, you could have ended the story right there. You've got a son who was rebellious, hard-hearted, had gone off, squandered everything the father had. And it's an incredible story of grace. And really, you'd think that's enough. That's all we really need to know, Jesus. That's the end of the story, isn't it? That's it. You've told us. It's a very great, powerful image of us as we come to God, as his love, the way he receives us. But Jesus actually doesn't stop the story there. He actually tells that there's another part, because there's two sons. There could have only been one son in this story, and it would have been a very powerful, impacting story, an incredible picture of the grace of God. But Jesus, when he tells this story, he makes a point of putting two sons in there. Two sons. And quite often we get the one son part, but we don't get the other part with the other son. And that's what I really want to talk about, because it's very easy for us to relate to the first son, because we're sinners, all far away from God. We come and we know Jesus Christ. But a lot of us can be in danger of being like the other son, and we don't even realize it, that we can get to such a place as that. So let's go back to verse 25, which is the meanwhile. The meanwhile is talking about the older son, because this story has two sons in it. And it's not just good enough that one son. Jesus actually said, no, there's something more that you need to know about grace. And so he put this other part in the story so we could learn from it. Verse 25, meanwhile, the oldest son was in the field. And when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. And so he called one of the servants and asked him, well, what's going on? Your brother has come, he replied. And your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has him back safe and sound. And that's such the joy that the Lord has. When we come into the kingdom of God, and so excited for Andrew. God just loves you so much. He's so excited that you gave your heart to him. And same for every one of us who's given our heart to the Lord. The Father's heart is so thrilled that we've come to know him because of Jesus Christ. So and the father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound. Verse 28, the older brother became angry and he refused to go in. His own brother. But the older brother became angry. He refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. And my son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Now, it's the meanwhile, it's this other brother that I want to talk about. Because if you've known the Lord for, if you've just come to know the Lord in the last year or two, then you're still like the brother that's come to know Jesus Christ. The one who's just come to the Father, who realizes what life was in the pits, no hope, no direction, no future. You come in to know the Lord Jesus Christ and there's a great love and a great excitement in your heart. But if you've known the Lord Jesus Christ for a long time, 2 or 3 years, 5 years, 10, 15, 20 years, 25, 30, 40 years, however long, then there's a danger that you will actually become like the older brother. And that's what I want to talk about, because there's this older brother syndrome that I've caught it that we can fall in. Because there's two brothers in the story. One who needed grace. He needed grace. He put his thumb up to the Father's nose, put his nose up to him, humiliated him. And he needed grace because he didn't deserve anything from the Father. Yet the Father gave him far more beyond what he deserved, even as God treats us. But there's one needed grace, but there was one who needed to show grace. And that's why Jesus actually tells two parts of this story, because there's one to receive a little bit like the older brother. And just think of the older brother for a moment. Just think about him. He'd been there the whole life with his Father. And he'd been with his Father the whole time. And if you're someone, but someone really close to him, his own brother, and he would have seen what happened to the Father, the humiliation that was caused to his Father, and the older brother would have seen that. He would have seen the pain that the Father went through, seeing the agonizing over this son of his that he lost. He would have seen the pain that his Father suffered. He would have felt that betrayal himself. His own brother would do that to the family, to the estate, would do that and take that and go off and squander. And he knew exactly what he'd been doing. It says wild living in earlier parts. He says he'd been running around with prostitutes. So he knew exactly what had been going on, and he had been disappointed by someone that was really close to him and others that let him down. And if you've been walking in God for a few years, well, there are going to be people that are going to disappoint you. There are going to be people that let you down. And the longer that you live, then there's going to be more people that will fail you, the more people that will let you down, because people are people fundamentally and they will let you down. And so if you've had people that have disappointed you, people close to you have let you down, you're in a danger place of maybe becoming a little bit like the older brother. Or maybe you've been one who's always been there. You've hung in faithful for thick and thin. It doesn't matter what's happened. Other people have come and gone. Some have stood and fallen. But you've been one that has stood there. You've stood the test of time. You've been faithful. You've hung in there. Well, then maybe also you could be in a position where maybe you could have a tendency to end up a little bit like the older brother. You don't have to, but you can. And that's what happened to this older brother. He'd been there. Younger son had fallen off, but no, I'm here. I'm still there. He was very loyal and hardworking. He was out in the field. He was very faithful. And hard working, he was running the farm, he was doing all of this stuff, working really hard. And again, we can be a little bit like that if you fall into the trap of the older brother, because out of all of those things, out of the hurt maybe, people disappointing me, seeing people come and go and falling and to him and being so loyal and hard working. But the problem is, why did Jesus highlight him? Because despite all of that, he missed grace. He missed the whole point. He missed grace. And if you've walked with God for a long time, whether it's 2, 5, 10, 15, 30, 40 years, we've got to watch our own hearts, because if we're not careful, we can miss the grace of God. Even as this brother totally blew it. He really blew it, this older brother. He totally missed out on the grace of God. And that's why Jesus was saying this. It's important for people that have been far away that they would come and to know Christ. But he's also speaking to us that have known him, that we don't end up being like this older brother, that we miss the grace of God. So let's have a look at really what is the heart of this older brother. What do we have to guard our own hearts in? Because we don't want to miss the grace of God. Because maybe you've seen people close to you that have disappointed you, let you down. Maybe you've seen people come and go and fall, but you've stood the test of time. They've been loyal and hard working, but you can still miss the grace of God. That's what Jesus is talking to us about. First thing about this older brother, he really was totally uncaring. And the fact that you see him, but he was loving, but it was also a conditional love that was shown to him. shown by him. Verse 27, the servant said, your brother has come. And so is your brother. This is your brother, someone who was dear to you, close to you, that you loved. He says, your brother has come. But what the son says, what's his response when he doesn't even want to go in there? He talks to the father, and he's turned around and he says, verse 30, but this son of yours. And so this whole relationship is broken. Rather than relating to him as a brother now coming in, he's saying, well, this is your son. This is your problem. This has nothing to do with me. And the problem with him is that where he missed the grace of God in this is that he actually identified this person that was coming into grace. This person who was just coming in, getting saved, and he was identifying him by what he had done rather than who he was. Because he says to me, this to him, verse 30, that when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitute comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him, this son of yours. And so straight away he's no longer talking to him as my brother. And it's interesting because the father reminds him, he says in verse 32, but because this brother of yours, and the father reminds him, hang on a minute, this person is your brother. This brother of yours, he is your brother. He is your brother. And so there needs to be some grace to this brother of yours. But then he, as I said, he's more interested, this brother, because he's more interested in what the person did rather than who he was. We've got to be so careful because we're going to see many, many people coming into the kingdom of God, many people coming into this church, many people getting saved. And the challenge for us as people is that if you've been around for a while, maybe you've seen a lot or whatever it is, as people come in, they're going to come in from all sorts of backgrounds, all kinds of circumstances. And that when we identify with people, you can never identify them as what they were or what they did, but who they are. And who are they? They're now your brother and sister in Christ. And so we've always got to relate to people on that basis, a basis of grace. But the brother didn't do that. It was conditional love. If this brother had to perform to the standard that was acceptable, which was you work alongside, and when the father's dead, then you get your inheritance. But it was totally conditional, the love that he had. You perform to the standard, brother. You perform to that standard, then I'll acknowledge you as my brother. But you don't perform to the standard that's required, then I'm going to cut you off. We've got to be so careful that our love is not conditional, that it's not uncaring. Because every person that comes into Christ becomes our brother or sister. And Jesus was warning the older brother, don't be like this older brother. What are some of the other things? I think one of the fundamental problems that the older brother had was the way that he looked at what he was doing. And even when we can be very, got to be very careful the way that what we do, even in the kingdom of God, even the areas serving or leading or whatever it is, we've got to be very careful on guarding our heart attitude. Because the older brother actually reveals his heart here in a way that I find quite disturbing. And it's in verse 29. He says, so the father's gone out. He's refusing to go in. Father's saying, come on, come in and join in the celebration. He's not going to go in. And this father says, and this is what he says to the father. He says, look, verse 29, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. And to me, right there, a fundamental problem in the heart of this older brother is exposed right there when he makes that comment. I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. And straight away, you'll see the heart of this son is actually not really the heart of a son at all. There's actually a lot of legalism in his heart and what he's been doing. He says, I've been slaving for you. He's saying, I've been like a slave working hard and it's not fair and I'm working really hard. He's going off enjoying himself and I'm the faithful one. I'm doing all the hard work. I turn up when I'm on the roster. Other people don't and I'm doing this and they're supposed to have done that. They didn't do it, but I'm here. And he's talking like a slave. And he says, I've never disobeyed your orders. But see, that's the wrong language. As we're believers, we're not slaves in God's kingdom. We are sons in the house of God. We are sons and daughters in the living God. But this older brother, he forgot what it was to be a son and began working like a slave. And so a slave will begin to be resentful. And so maybe he was resenting the fact, here I am, I'm working all of this stuff. And he's gone from a son mentality to a slave mentality. And once we take on a slave mentality and I'm just doing it out of sheer obedience. You haven't disobeyed your orders, and it's all just grind your teeth and grit, and there's no heart in it. Immediately, your compassion goes and your grace goes out of our life. And so we've got to guard it, because that's exactly what happened to this brother. He forgot what it was to be a son in the house, and he became like a slave. We've got to be careful that we always remember that God has placed us in God's kingdom, and we're sons and daughters of the living God. He's placed us even in a church together, that we are sons and daughters of the house. We're not slaves, we're not servants. We're not doing, oh, I'm just doing my bit to be obedient or whatever. No, you have an inheritance in the house. And that's where the son totally missed the point. He missed it. He thought, oh, I was just doing my little bit to be obedient. And it's not about that. You're building something that you have an inheritance in. And even when we talk about, you know, the multi-purpose room and all that sort of stuff, we all have an inheritance in that, but our kids have an inheritance in that. And as people come to know Jesus Christ, we get blessed and blessed and blessed by that. But a slave misses the whole point, and that's what the son did. It's not on your bookmark, but just turn to Hebrews 3 with me for a moment. And it gives a great little contrast, the difference between that serving, the serving or slaving mentality, as opposed to a son mentality. Hebrews chapter 3. And it just giving the example, comparing, saying, well, Christ, he was a son. Moses didn't, he was a servant, but he wasn't a son. Therefore, holy brothers, in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, therefore, holy brothers, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess. He is faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of the house is greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all of God's house, testifying what would be in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over the house. And we've got to check our attitude and say, well, am I a slave serving in the house? Or am I a son of the house and I have an inheritance here? And that's where the brother actually totally blew it. He says, I've been slaving for you. I wasn't slaving for you. Every part of the estate actually was going to be his. He was slaving for himself. Ultimately, he had an inheritance in the house. It was all going to be his. But he had it wrong. He thought he was just doing it to serve his, out of obedience and haven't disobeyed. He totally missed the heart of God. How do you serve God? As a son in the house, are you on the rosters? Are you serving lunch or whatever? Because you have an inheritance in the house, or because you're a slave, you're serving, and I'm just doing my duty? Because if you're that kind of person, you find it really hard to show grace. When people come in and they're still new and they're still learning and they're supposed to be in the roster, they don't come, and whatever else happens, you'll find it really, really hard to relate to them. Well, they're my brother, and to show grace. And so that's what Jesus is warning. Yeah, there's the grace, someone coming to know the Lord, but then there's showing grace to be careful as an older brother. And let's be a son. We're sons in this house. We have an inheritance in the house. But the older brother, he'd been doing it all so long, he forgot even why he was doing it in the end. He became slaving, became all hard work, because he lost the heart. He forgot what it was all about. And we've got to watch that, because we can become like the older brother, because we've had people disappoint us. We've seen other people fall, but you hung in there. You've been loyal and hard working, but there can be a danger that we become like the older brother. What was the other thing about this older brother? Is that he was so interested in the work that he really forgot people. And we've got to be careful about that too. Some people become so task orientated in the things that they've got to do, so many things, and so busy that they never have any time for anyone in their lives. You're running here, you're running there, you're doing this, you're doing that. And how are you ever going to lead someone to Christ? Because there's never any room in your life for that. You schedule every moment so that if the Holy Spirit prompted you to do something, well, you couldn't even respond anyway, because there's no margin, there's no room for that. And I think with this older son, he was just so focused on working in the fields, working all the fields, that when a person who was actually his brother came and just to show that love and grace to him, no, he couldn't even do that. He wasn't able to do that. His vision was all on the work and forgetting people. We've got to be so careful that we keep our eyes open and always remember people. It's about people. And that's what Jesus is reminding us, even as he told that story. It's about people. The older brother didn't care about him. He was worried about the work, but looking at it the wrong way, didn't care about people. So we've got to watch it. Verse 32. And this was the father's reminder, but we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and his family had to celebrate, because there's nothing better than someone coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about people. The job's got to get done, but ultimately it's all about people. It's about people coming to know Jesus Christ. Also, the other thing I see about the older brother is that he can become very insecure in his position. Now, think about it for the moment. There's been two sons. One son has snubbed his nose at the father, humiliated him, taken half the stuff, gone off, squandered it. And who was left there? It's Golden Boy, the good one. He's always there. He's the good one, the black sheep. He's gone. But Golden Boy is here. And so he's Golden Boy. He's the son. He's there. He's the faithful one. He's that. All of a sudden now, Golden Boy's position is threatened by this other brother coming in. And rather being treated like scum, as a slave or even worse, the father has the audacity to put sandals on his feet, put a ring on his finger, a sign of authority over his life, has this big whopping big celebration. And the fatted calf, which was always reserved just in case a high official or the king would visit or someone of great importance, it was always kept for someone of great significance coming, that would have the fatted calf just in case, he gave it on the son. And so his great position as the Golden Boy is very much threatened. And so he was very insecure. And rather than wanting to rejoice, he's thinking, oh, great. I'm the Golden Boy. But now my influence is diluted because of others that have come in. And we've got to be careful of that in the church. As leaders, as people in the church, as many more people come into the church, you might be, oh, gee, I'm one of 20 home group leaders. But now I'm only one of 100 home group leaders. But we've got to watch our heart that we're not insecure in who we are. And that's what the father addresses with him. He says, son, he says, you're always with me and everything I have is yours. You don't have to be threatened by other people coming in. You don't have to be threatened by other people rising up, other people doing and being what God wants them to be. You don't need to be threatened by that. But if you've been hanging in there for a long time, when you see other people coming, other people rising up, we can be threatened by that. So we've got to be very careful that we don't become like the older brother. He goes from being the Golden Boy to, well, the son. Now I'm one of two sons. And so we've got to watch that insecurity that was addressed with him. And as I said, he was very, very judgmental. And verse 28, it says the older brother became angry. What was the emotion that gripped his heart? Compare that with the father. The father, if anyone had a right to be angry, it was the father. Publicly humiliated, whole life work, half of it gone off and squandered on prostitutes, that he'd worked his whole life, maybe generations of the family had all gone and just been thrown aside in a whim. And if anyone had a right to be angry, the father, he was the offended one. He was the wronged party. He had the right to be offended. Yet what did he do? He runs to the son, and it says in verse 20, it says, the father saw him, was filled with compassion for him. And that's the heart of God to us. But what was the other brother like? He was angry. What right? How dare he? Who is he? How dare you? Just go, his heart was everything but gracious towards it. It was actually anger. He wanted him to get what he deserved. He needed to be punished for the way that he's treated the father, for the way that he's hurt me. He needs to suffer. He needs something to happen to him. And yet the audacity of the father to show compassion to him and then to put sandals on his feet and kill the fatted calf, give him the ring, all of this stuff. And we've always got to watch our heart that we when people come, people are going to fail us and let us down. And when people fail, even in the life of church or in different areas or aspects, ultimately they fail themselves, they fail God. They don't really fail us, they fail themselves more than anything. And what is our response to be? Well, is our response to be one of anger? Because that's what the older brother has. And Jesus told the story saying, don't be like this older brother. That when people come in and they fail and they fall, is your heart of anger or is your heart of compassion towards them? That was what Jesus is saying as he tells this little story. What is your heart? Is it judgmental towards people? Or they don't meet the standard. They don't cut it. They don't do this. They're unreliable. They're this, they're that, or whatever. Or is our heart of, compassion? So we don't know exactly how far down in the depths they've come. And so I'm going to be compassionate and I'm going to show a lot of grace because I don't want to be like this older brother. And the other sad thing about the older brother in verse 28, there's this incredible great party going on. They've got the best party food going on ever. They've got the fatted calf, the choicest food, the great celebration. Everyone is having an incredible time rejoicing and celebrating. And verse 28, he refuses to go in. Now, at this point in time, who was actually being punished at this time? Who was actually suffering? In there having the party? They're all just having a great old time. But here he is sitting here in the hardness of his own heart, his lack of grace, his lack of compassion, excuse me, and he's the one suffering. And he's angry, he's separated himself, he's pulling himself away. God's doing great things, but he's put in a bridge there. He's not going in there, it's not fair, it's not right. And he's put this great big wall in there, this older brother. And ultimately, that's a pride. And we've got to be really careful, because pride is something that will hit. You're susceptible to pride. You've been longer in the walk of God. A brand new Christian coming in, they realize, I've just been in a pig pen. I've been living like a pig, eating like a pig, smelling like a pig. The Father's embraced me. Thank you, Lord. Lord, your compassion, your grace, your love to me is just overwhelming. But when you've been the golden boy and you're over here and, you know, you've done really good and, you know, you're working hard and you're doing all this sort of stuff, and you begin to think, yeah, I'm the golden boy here. You know, I don't do anything really wrong. I'm pretty cool, actually. I don't sin. I'm really good. And a bit of pride can come in. The new believer, there's no pride there. They know where they've just come from. They realize the struggle and the heartache and all of the guff that they've gone through. And they're just so, Lord, I'm just so grateful for what you are, that you've rescued me. You've been the golden boy for a while. You know, you've been in there, hardworking, faithful. We can become, get a little bit of pride begins to come in there. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, just be careful, you older brothers. Don't let pride go in. Because he was too proud to go into the party. And when pride is a separating thing, it'll cause you to miss out on the celebration of the joy of God. If you missing lack joy in your life, have a look. Maybe there's a bit of pride there. Oh, it's not fair. It's not right. It's not. Maybe there's just a bit of pride that's in our heart. And that separates us. The party goes on. The good time is had, the blessing of God, the favour. It all goes on and it all happens, but pride will separate us and keep us on the outside, and we'll not be able to enter in to what God is doing. And that leads on to verse 29. It's just how ungrateful the older brother eventually becomes. And the new Christian is someone who says, oh, I'm so grateful, Lord, I've had absolutely nothing. Now I have hope, I have purpose, I have all of this for my life. But the older brother, he began to become ungrateful. And he says, he talks about, I've been slaving for you, never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me, he says in verse 29, you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. You never gave me. And here he is, the father that he's supposed to be loyally serving. He turns around, and at a time it should have been a great rejoicing, he turns around and points the finger and says, you never gave me. And all of a sudden, there's something begins to happen in his heart. And there's a fundamental ungratitude that I see in his life. Because he's saying, you never gave me. But he had everything. He had everything. Some people can get resentful because this person had this great blessing. You know, they're a new Christian and, wow, they got healed straight away. I've been praying. I haven't had my healing yet. Well, it's not fair. You never give me my healing. They got the healing straight away. Oh, Lord, they're getting blessed financially. Things are happening good in their life. Well, what about us? What about you never gave me? And we can have that older brother attitude. And this is what the father says. He says, you totally missed the whole point again. You're missing it. You're not actually there. This is what the father says in verse 17. It says, my son, the father said, you are always with me. Always with me, and everything I have is yours. And he was saying, Lord, you never gave me. And the father's saying, what are you talking about? Everything I have is yours. What can I give you? I've given you everything. Everything I have is yours. You never gave. What rubbish. What nonsense. He missed it. And as older brothers, if you know the Lord for a while, we can come into that place. And we think, oh, you never gave me. And the Lord's saying, hang on a minute. I'm always with you. This brother of yours has been in loneliness, sadness, depression, hopelessness, but you've always got me with you. You never have to walk in any of those things because I am always with you. The Lord is always with you. And he said, oh, you never gave me. Well, actually, everything I have, I've already given to you. It's all yours. And he's saying, look, if you wanted a goat, man, you could have had a goat. You wanted a fatted calf, kill the fatted calf because it's your fatted calf ultimately it will be anyway part of your inheritance. And sometimes we say to God, oh, please, will you never get... And God's saying, hang on, I've given you everything. The inheritance is yours. You're a son and daughter of the living God. It's all yours. I've given it all to you. But most importantly, that I am with you. I'm with you all the time. He says, my son, you're always with me. And that leads me to the final thing I wanted to say, is that how he really began to take that for granted. See, a new Christian is so excited. Lord, you're with me. Oh, what an amazing thing is, I've lived my whole life on my own, without purpose, without direction. I go through a hard time. Some people might say, oh, you poor thing, you know, encourage me or whatever. But ultimately, I've got to wear it on my own. People try to comfort me, they try to help me, but ultimately, they're on their own. But as soon as you come into the kingdom of God, you have the comfort of God. You have the power of God working in your life. A whole new dynamic is unfolded. We have the Lord always with us. But this brother, he actually began to devalue that. He began to take God, or his father, and we know that's an image of that for us, this story, for granted. And Jesus is warning and saying, don't take me for granted. Don't take for granted the fact that I'm always with you. This son who's been alone or whatever, he's just so grateful. Oh, the Father's put his arms around me. The Father loves me. He's poured his Spirit upon me. He's so happy, so grateful. The golden boy, son who's been there for a while, can begin to take God for granted. Oh, yeah, God's always there. And I'll go to church. Oh, yeah, can't be bothered. Can't be bothered raising my hands. Had a hard day yesterday, busy day. Too tired today. Can't be bothered worshipping. Can't be bothered coming to church. Can't be bothered. Oh, yeah, you're always with me. And a complacency can become in. Someone who comes to Christ, oh, Lord, this is the most exciting thing in my whole life. My whole life, the passion. Lord, I'm so grateful. I love you so much, the older brother. Oh, well, easy come, easy go. And Jesus was warning, saying, don't be like that. Don't treat that with contempt. Because ultimately, I believe the son coming to the father and saying, give me half your stuff, Dad. Wish you were dead, basically. Give me the inheritance and off. And thumb it. But the older brother was really doing that himself too. He didn't take it and run. He had it and then he just held it in contempt. And I think he's just as bad. I think that's why Jesus has given us two sons here. Because I think this other brother, he had everything, he started, and he just took his father for granted. When rubber hits the road, he was taking his father for granted. We can take God for granted in our lives. And rather than being the passion of, Lord, I love you, I'm so grateful for what you've done in me, we can be up here, oh, ho-hum, easy come, easy go. And I think this is just a badder position as that position there to God. I think that's just as hurtful to God. When we're in God's presence and we're, oh, easy come, easy go, oh, can't be bothered, oh, I'm tired, oh, yeah. I think that's probably just as painful as this act there. We all look at this and think that, oh, that is horrendous. But I think Jesus had both sides of the story, because there's another side that we've got to guard our own hearts in. And that's why Jesus is saying, he's saying, guard your hearts. There's those that you need to receive grace, and all of us are needed to receive it, but we also need to show grace. And so there's two brothers in this story. And so we don't want to be uncaring. We don't have conditional love. You make the standard, I'll love you, accept you. If you don't, well, sorry. But no, we're in there. We're interested in people, who they are. They're our brother. Not from what they've come from, not from what they've done, but they're our brother or sister. We deal on that basis. We're not legalistic. We know we are a son in the house. I'm not slaving for you, excuse me. I'm not never disobeying orders. No, I am a son in the house. I'm not a slave. I'm not a servant. I have a sonship. I have an inheritance in the house. And I uphold the family name. And my heart is for the family. We don't have tunnel vision. We're so interested in getting stuff done. We forget why or who we're doing it for, or even the people themselves. Not be insecure. Other people will come in. Other people will rise up. We'll rejoice with that. Rejoice. Don't be like the older brother who goes, oh, I was number one now. There's two of us. No, no, have that heart. Don't be judgmental. Don't let pride stop you from entering in. Don't be ungrateful, taking God for granted for what he's given us. But more important, never take it for granted for who he is. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to pray this morning. And I just believe God wants to say something to us. Because we probably have all been hurt at times. And even as the older brother, he was really hurt. People close to him really let him down. And we've seen people four, but you've hung in there, you've there, but and maybe you've been faithful and hardworking, but you can still miss grace. And our prayer is, Lord, that we don't want to miss grace today. Father, for us that are those that have just come to know you, Lord, in recent times, Lord, the joy of you and the overwhelming sense of gratitude, Father. Let that remain in their hearts, Father. Let them never forget who you are, what you've done for them, Lord, that you've died on the cross, you paid with your very blood for salvation. Lord, that when we were our stinkiest, Lord, our most repulsive to you, Lord, that you ran and you threw arms around us, and we're so grateful for that, Father. But Lord, I pray for those, Lord, that have walked with you many years, whether it's a few or whether it's many, Father, let us not be like that older brother who missed the grace of God, who missed showing the grace of God, Father, who allowed his own things and his own thinking and everything just to get out of whack, Father. Lord, we want to have your heart. And Father, even as the Father himself was filled with compassion, Lord, give us the compassionate heart. Lord, give us the gracious heart, Father. Lord, that we don't want to be like that older brother. Lord, we want to be a true son in the house of God. Lord, because we are sons and daughters of the living God. As other people come in, Father, from many places, Lord, many backgrounds, Lord, many diverse situations, Father, let us just continue just to love them. Father, to exercise grace, Lord, when we need to, Father, to show compassion when we need to show compassion. And Father, we just pray, Lord, for that your house will be built well and strong. But Father, we just thank you for the grace that you've shown each one of us. Lord, may we never take you for granted. Father, may we never treat your presence with contempt. Father, may we never just be a neutral or impassive, Lord, when we're with our Father. And Lord, what a wonderful thing it is to be with our Father who loves us so much, Lord. You love us so much, Lord, and we just never want to take you for granted. Father, we never want to say you never gave me, Lord, because you gave us everything. Father, let us not squander what we have, but Father, let us use what we have, Lord, in time and resources, whatever it is, Father, but even in our own heart, Father. Lord, let it be abundantly yours in every way. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you've spoken to us. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you gave this parable, because there's two lots of people you're talking to. And, Father, we want to hear what the Spirit is saying this day. So, Father, even right now, Lord, we look at our own heart. Father, say, search and try our hearts, Lord. If there's any of these things within us, very subtle, Lord, that maybe you've crept in, Father, we bring these to you now. And, Lord, we ask you to forgive us. Lord, we don't want to be like that older brother. Lord, we want to have the heart of the Father. And so, Father, forgive us, Lord, if any of that has crept into our heart at any time. Lord, we just want to honor you. And again, thank you for the overwhelming grace, the amazing grace that you've shown each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're just going to pray for some people.